It's going to be a wonderful, glorious day when He is the King of the universe, proclaimed publicly. He already is. You and I have the chance now to say yes to His Lordship and experience the blessings of that relationship with Him. But what will happen in life? Tough things will occur. Unfair happens to everybody. And the key is we need to know how to be able to deal with it. As we run through life, sometimes we're going to trip and fall on our own. Sometimes people will trip us up, even knock us down. And if we're honest, occasionally there are times that we will knock other people down and trip them up as well. Life is unfair. David is experiencing this near the end of his life in 2 Samuel chapter 16. This time for him is not exactly the highlight of his life. In fact, it must remind him of the beginning when he went through so many tough circumstances. It's similar to that time earlier when King Saul was trying to assassinate him and take his life away from him. David is experiencing these chain reactions of unfair events. His baby is dead. Many in his own family have turned against David. His son Absalom has forcibly taken over the kingdom. It wasn't handed to him. He took it by force. And David must be thinking at this time in his life, where can I find a Jonathan again? Where can I have that good friend, Jonathan, who come into my world now and help lift me up and help encourage me through these down times? And unfortunately, Jonathan doesn't show up. Another guy does, named Shimei. And believe me, he is not at all like Jonathan. He's not a friend. And the battle begins. We read about that earlier. Shimei curses David. He then begins to blame him for things that he has never done. And if that's not enough, he begins to take dirt and throw it at him. And even rocks. And to throw them at David. That's what he's experiencing. And it's not right. It's not fair for him to be experiencing these things. But it's called life. We are going to face unfair. The key is how we deal with it. We need to get prepared before it comes, because it's only a matter of time as to when it will happen to you and to me. How do we start? We start by standing on the truth. Don't believe the lies. That's how we need to begin. Standing on the truth. Listen to the words of Shimei again in verse 8. Here is his words to David. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has given the kingdom into the hands of your son Absalom. You have come to ruin because you are a murderer. Just look at all these accusations. They are all lies. All of them are lies. They're untruths. He falsely accuses David of shedding blood in King Saul's household. And the truth is that David has shown incredible kindness to all the members of Jonathan and Saul's families. We've studied that in our series together. And then Shimei says that God has given the kingship to Absalom. And the truth is that Absalom stole it. He snatched it away. God didn't give it to him. And then the last part of that verse must have really hit David the hardest. If I put myself in his shoes, I would struggle, because he says to David, you are a murderer. Well, the truth is that David's actions, his sins, did lead to the death of Bathsheba's husband, as well as the other soldiers that went with him to the front lines during the battle. But here's what has happened. David sought God's forgiveness. He genuinely confessed this horrible sin. He chose to repent and turn from that and walk away from it. Therefore, today, in our story, he cannot be characterized as a murderer anymore. Follower of Christ, can I tell you something that I hope will really, really set you free? If you will genuinely confess your sins, genuinely, whatever that sin is, for David, it was murder. It's hard to get worse than that. But if you will genuinely confess your sins, and if you will repent from them and walk away, then you do not have to be held in that spiritual prison anymore, and you do not have to carry that label with you. David does not have to carry the label of murderer anymore. He has been set free, and you have as well, Christ follower. If you have come to him and given your life to him and confessed your shortcomings, they are history and they no longer need to be your labels in life. Be set free. You know, Satan would love to influence you to believe his lies. What do they look like? Here's what Satan will say to you. Hey, you're a loser. You don't have anything to offer. You're nothing. You're not forgiven of your sins. You did something so horrible it could never be forgiven. That's a lie that he would love for you to believe. And here's what he'd really love for you to think about. Hey, God could care less about you. He doesn't really love you. You don't believe that, do you? That's what he likes us to believe. And then if we failed or we've fallen short, he says, hey, you need to be shelved. God can never use you again. You just need to be put out here in left field. You have nothing to offer. Christ followers, don't believe these lies. These are not true. And be careful about something else as well. Be careful that you avoid bad advice, because the world is full of it. Bad advice. People who will tell you things that are not true. Look at verse 9 of 2 Samuel 16. Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. Ouch. Pretty strong words, aren't they? In one way, it's a generous offer from somebody who's trying to take up for David. Abishai. He just wants to take Shimei out of the picture completely. He says, David, let me just take care of him. Then you won't have to mess with him anymore. Abishai kind of takes on himself the role of David's bodyguard. Now, in one way, it's special to have somebody who will go with us to these unfair times, right? And hang in there with us and help us and be our advocates. They come in and they say things like, let me at him, I'll tear his head off. And I'm sure that David must have had a moment where he would have said, hey, that sounds pretty good. I'd love to get rid of Shimei. Listen, my friends, there are going to be well-intentioned people who are going to walk into your lives when you've been tested unfairly, when you've gone through difficult times. And they will try to get you to feed an unforgiving spirit towards those who have hurt you, who have lashed out to you. They'll say, hey, stand up for your rights. Hey, sue her. That's what you need to do. Get anything out of her you can. Hey, revenge is sweet. Don't you want some sweet revenge? God has much better advice when we face unfair times. And we're going to look at some of his advice in just a few minutes. Some other sad news that we need to hear is that there are going to be some people in those times in our lives who are going to kick us when we're down. I just want you to get ready for that. You will get kicked when you're down. That's what's happening to David at this very low moment of his life. Can it get any worse? It's getting there rapidly. Look at verse 13 of 2 Samuel 16. So David and his men continued along the road while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite him. Remember, David's going through some really low moments. What's happening? Shimei is cursing as he went and throwing stones at him and showering him with dirt. Tough time, and it's getting worse. Wouldn't it be nice if we could schedule our downtimes, our low moments, our struggles? Wouldn't it be great if when things are going well and we're really extremely close to the Lord and that we would feel His strength during that time? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the downtimes only came when we're well rested and when we're prepared for them? David is attacked when he's lower than a snake's belly. It's not a good time. And now it looks worse. My friends, life can be like that sometimes. We can get blindsided. When things are going rough, the tough times can come then as well. So be prepared, because they will kick you when you're down, these unfair moments. And when that happens, make sure that you avoid a spirit of unforgiveness. Get ready now and make sure that you avoid unforgiveness. Excuse me. Unforgiveness is really tempting, and it can really take over our lives if we're not careful. It can seem to be so sweet, but in reality, it's poison to our spirit. Notice what it breeds. Look at this diagram. Unforgiveness can lead to grudges. It can lead to hatred. Hatred can produce resentment. Resentment can lead us to revenge. Sometimes we choose not to forgive because we think that when we are unforgiving, that it's hurting the other individual. Be careful. Unforgiveness doesn't hurt him or her nearly as much as it hurts you. Choose the right path. And if I choose not to forgive, I am going to be the one who is hurt most of all. We need to experience God's victory. And this victory comes when we get ready right now for the unfair times that come our way. So how do we do that? Here is how we can experience the victory. First, as I've been talking about, get ready for it. Get ready for unfair. How do we do that? We need to put on the armor of God. I invite you, follower of Christ, to do that now. Look at Ephesians 6:14. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. This is the solution. During tough times, sometimes people will say this, hey, just man up. Just woman up. Put on some tough skin. You can do it. You can handle those tough times. Here's the problem with that. When you do that, you're depending upon your resources and not God's resources. Instead, we need to lean on Him and depend on Him, putting on the spiritual armor of God. And when you do that, you have resources that are beyond you to handle these unfair times. You have the power of God. We should do this every day anyway. But we especially need the two pieces of armor that are described in verse 14. What are they? The belt of truth, as well as the breastplate of righteousness. When truth is your guide, when it's your guide, you will not believe the lies. Remember, Shimei was lying about David. When you're a believer, You are saved by the righteousness of God. You clothe yourself with His righteousness. And therefore, you're secure in Him. You can rest in Him. And what others say about you doesn't matter. Don't believe the lies. And if you get ready right now, you'll be prepared for the victory. The opportunity to experience this victory grows when you choose grace. Would you be willing to choose grace in unfair times? Look at 2 Samuel 19, verse 23. So the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." And the king promised him on oath. What did he promise him? That he would not die. This is a really neat part of the story. A humbled, forgiven person becomes a good forgiver of others. David knows brokenness and pain. He's experienced that. He's also experienced the tender hand of the mercy of God, of His forgiveness. And that's resulted in spiritual cleansing and joy. David has regained the throne of Israel. He's now the king again. Shimei approaches him, and he's very humble. He admits to David that he sinned. He says, "I'm sorry I've done this. I should not have done this to my lord, the king." He admits it. He literally throws himself at David's feet. And what does he say? Look at verses 19 and the first part of verse 20 of 2 Samuel 19. "May my lord not hold me guilty. Do not remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned." David has an opportunity right now to show some incredible grace and mercy. And he does that. And here's what he tries to do, I believe, at this moment. He's probably thinking about Shimei. He says, something's going on in his life. I don't know what he's facing, but it's got to be a difficult time. Who knows? There may be a problem with his wife. It may be that his kids are rebelling. He may be having some job challenge or possibility. But David reaches out to him in grace. But he's got some bad advice still around him. Remember, we've got to be careful. Abishai still hasn't changed much. Here's what he says in verse 21. "Shouldn't Shimei be put to death for this? He cursed the Lord's anointed." David's words are not just any words of forgiveness. They're the same words he heard from the prophet Nathan. Do you remember what Nathan said to David? "You shall not die. In spite of all your failures, David, the Lord has shown His forgiveness to you." David takes those same words and uses them with Shimei. He says to him, "You shall not die." Folks, when somebody's hurt you deeply and they've come to you, you don't have to wait for feelings of forgiveness. You can forgive by faith, by an act of the will, by choice. That's what God is inviting us to do. When we have been hurt, we need to apply the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians 3:13. It says very simply what we're to do when people approach us. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Never forget God's forgiveness. Jesus multiplies this attitude when He is on the cross. He says, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." And in this unfair battle, I want to really encourage you to stay teachable. Would you be that person that learns from tough times, from unfair moments in life? Look at 2 Samuel 16, verse 12. "It may be that the Lord will look upon my misery and restore to me His covenant blessing instead of His curse today." This is during one of Shimei's verbal tirades. David says this. He says, "Hey, maybe God is working in this way in some way that I don't see right now. But in faith, I want to reach out and I want to receive that. Rather than me taking things into my own hands, Let me see what he might be trying to teach me. It's so easy to be defensive when people hurt us. Would instead you be teachable? Maybe those accusations aren't completely true, but maybe there's a thread of truth in it. And there's something we can learn from that time. A way that you and I can grow, even when we're in unfair circumstances. Is God trying to develop my character to teach me? It's during that time that he often does some of his best discipleship transformation, if we will be open to his hand in our lives. Stay teachable and be sure to keep chasing that bitterness away. Don't remain bitter. Chase it out of your experience. The miracle happens. With God's grace, we forgive that person who has hurt us. But then something happens that brings back the hurt and pain. Know what I'm talking about? A memory, a reminder, something else comes back at us. We begin to struggle again with those feelings of resentment. It's a reminder of the pain. And I just want you to know, I am so saddened when I listen to what David does later. David allows the bitterness to return. He does not finish strong. David is talking with his son Solomon, and he says that he had promised Shimei that he would not put him to death. Remember? But notice what he says in verse 9 to Solomon. But now, do not consider him innocent. You are a man of wisdom. You will know what to do to him. Bring his gray head down to the grave in blood. Man, that's so sad. David didn't finish strong. We're going to close out the series next Sunday by talking about how to finish strong, no matter how old we are, to finish the race strong. But it's obvious for David that bitterness has come back. It's resurfaced. What are we to do in times like these? We are to go back to forgiveness. We need to stand on forgiveness. We need to stand with forgiveness. We need to forgive by faith. Not because it feels like it. Not because that other person even deserves it. None of us deserves the forgiveness of God. But if you and I choose to forgive, we are carrying His grace to others. Look at Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Today, we've got a great example for that, don't we? We have a wonderful example of forgiveness in and through the life of Jesus Christ. And if we are following Him, we have His indwelling Spirit to forgive even those who hurt us and are unfair to us. In one of our leadership training conferences a few years ago on the island of Kalimantan, Indonesia, our partners came across what we would call a five-talent leader. He had a lot of ability. His name, Rudy. He grew up in a Muslim family. That was his background. And he made the very courageous decision as a teenager to become a follower of Christ. When his father heard about it, he was not happy at all. Because it's the ultimate disgrace in a Muslim family for someone to change and make a decision to become a follower of Christ. But he did not do what a lot of Muslim fathers do when he heard the news. He didn't attack him. He didn't kick him out of the family. He went off to college, Rudy did, and he began to study to prepare to be a boat captain of a barge. That's a good job in Indonesia. And around those islands, he could have had a good living, made some good money, but it was during that time at college as a young man that he believed that God was calling him to become a Christian pastor, church planter, evangelist for the gospel of Jesus Christ. This was a radical decision that would lead to a violent encounter with his father when he told him. When his father heard this news, his father attacked him physically, began to beat him, threw him down on the floor, kicked him in the face and head, and then kicked him out of the family. He said to Rudy, "You are no longer welcome in our home. You have shamed our family. You are dead to me." Now, this is a college age young man. Rudy was obviously very devastated by the way that his father treated him, but that didn't stop him from moving ahead and being faithful to God's call in his life. This is one of the churches that Rudy planted on the banks of the river going into Kalimantan. Summit Church, as well as Graceland Church, my former assignment, combined resources to provide a small church planting boat for Rudy and his team. And you can see the team in this next picture. They would travel up and down the river on this church planting boat, seeking to share the gospel and start new churches wherever they went. And my friends, all of you were a part of that. You can see the name of the boat, the Encourager boat. One Saturday evening, we were together. Can you tell who I am in that picture, by the way? I don't know if you can know who I am. You can tell there, all the guys are wearing jackets because as we were going up and down the river, they were just freezing that day. It was down to like 75 degrees, and they were freezing. But one Saturday night, we stopped and we shared the gospel in a village, and there were dozens of people that became followers of Christ. One of the young ladies was from a Muslim background there. In fact, most all of them were. But she decided that it was important for her as a follower of Christ to be baptized. And by the way, that's what the New Testament teaches. It teaches that when you become a follower of Jesus, that as soon as possible, you follow him with New Testament baptism. And so we all got down. It was a Sunday morning that morning. The church planting boat is right off to the left. And you can look at that picture. You can see Rudy, right? Raising his hand there as he is getting ready to baptize that young lady standing right next to him, a new believer who wanted to follow Christ that way. And that young lady's mentor got down in the water with her. The lady to her right decided that she was going to get right down in the water with her to show her that she was going to walk with her through life and to be a discipler of her. And Rudy also baptized the man there that's standing across from him. And that man is Rudy's father. Rudy's dad gave up on him, but Rudy never gave up on his dad. He continued to love him, to forgive him for the way he had been treated, to stay in contact with him, to share the gospel with him. And now Rudy's father is Rudy's brother in Christ. Forgiveness will share a powerful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. Yeah, Rudy was not treated fair. I would say that was an understatement, wouldn't you? What he dealt with. But when life was unfair to Rudy, Rudy chooses grace. Rudy chooses not to go down the bitterness path and to chase it away. If anybody would have had a right to be bitter, Rudy would have. But instead, he forgave by faith, and lives have been forever changed. Oh, we've got such an awesome model for that, Christ follower. We have a Savior who did that for us. He remains silent when his accusers attack him. And when the people there begin to mock him, Jesus just quietly picks up the cross beam of the cross and goes as far as he can until he falls under the weight of it because he's lost so much blood and because he was beaten for you and for me. One of the criminals beside Jesus Christ begins to join in the ridicule. But Jesus focuses on the mission. He says, "It is finished. The price has been paid, and salvation is available for you and for me." You see, carrying our sins for Jesus was a lot more important than throwing insults back at his accusers. He paved the way for us. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't have a clue. That's what he does for us. Jesus receives the ultimate unfair so that you and I could receive his gift of grace. What a Savior. Ready to follow him? Father, show us how. That's what we want. We want to follow the one who showered us with his grace. When he experienced the ultimate unfair, he gave it all for us. Lord, I just pray now that if there are some here today that haven't taken that step yet to follow you, that this will be the beginning. And that they'll let somebody know they're ready. Not to keep it quiet. We can't, God. It's impossible to be a private follower of Jesus. We've got to share it. And we've got to show it. So God, do a work. Speak to our hearts in this time, Lord. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen.